airplanes take off and fly.
Nice touch.
Try to figure out which one you might be on.
That lyric line is actually a nice memory when I was a little kid. Growing up in upstate New York, Ithaca, New York, small town, and there was, you know, the local airport, and it probably had two flights a day come in or go out, and it was a big deal when, and this is about 1965, 66, I was 4 or 5 years old, my brother was 7 or 8, my dad would take us out to watch the airplane come in.
Isn't that cool?
You pull up right next to the runway. Practically, and watch the airplane come in and take off. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. You can do Midway now.
You millennials, you think the internet's fancy. Let me tell you, we were living the dream. Am I right, Dave? Or am I right?
We did it. Absolutely.
Peter Greenberg is the travel guru. He's my friend and has been for years, and it's nice to talk to you again.
I'm at the airport watching planes land. I don't know what's going on with you guys.
Where in the world are you today?
Today, I just returned from Azerbaijan and Istanbul, and I'm actually in New York City.
You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me the other day, where does Peter live? And I said, I've known him for 20 years. I don't know. I mean, you live at the airport.
I live at about 35,000 feet. Actually, I live in about 4 different places. I've done it all my life. And when I'm not on a plane, I'm usually either in New York or Los Angeles, to tell you the truth.
At Peter S. Greenberg, all across social media, and petergreenberg.com is the website. All right, so a story comes out last week that says, we as Americans have never been fatter and never been taller, and we need more room in the seats, and Chuck Schumer wants to do anything about it. Is that going to get done?
Probably not. The airline lobby is pretty strong about this. Here's the deal, though. And it doesn't get into the size of the seats. It actually gets to the safety. Every year, every airline, in order to get certified as safe, has to actually prove that they can evacuate a fully loaded plane, every seat taken, with half the exits blocked in less than 90 seconds. And that also includes for carry-on bags and all the other stuff we bring on the plane. And guess what happens every year? Every airline passes. Let me tell you why. They get to pick the people who sit in the seats. So basically, it's the cast from Cirque du Soleil.
It's Cirque du Soleil and it's Kenyan distance runners.
Yeah, and so the reality of it is, when you see what people bring on airplanes these days, it's amazing we can even breathe.
Right.
Let alone get out of the plane in an emergency. You may remember when we had the fire on board the British Airways plane in Las Vegas a couple of months ago, where the left engine caught fire on takeoff, and they actually did a miraculous aborted takeoff and got everybody off. They didn't get everybody off in time, if you wanted to talk about that. You know how long it took them to evacuate the plane?
How long?
9 minutes.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you something.
That's a huge
problem. What was even worse is that people were going down the slides with their carry-on bags and their wheelboards.
Wow.
This is not cool. So if an airline wants to cram more seats on board, the only concern they have right now is that they have enough flight attendants per number of passengers. That is a rule set by the FAA. But the real question is, can you evacuate a plane with that pitch reduced by 3 or 4 inches and with the width reduced? And that's really what Schumer's asking. He's trying to put the airlines to the test, saying, hey, you can put as many seats on the plane as you want, but you have to prove X.
And the lobby is strong in protecting the business model of the airlines, but as you've pointed out on the show before, look, I don't believe that airline executives sit around going, oh, if we lose one, we lose one. But the insurance model for airline crashes is pretty favorable to an airline, so what incentive do they have to really operate at the absolute peak of safety?
Well, you know, in all fairness to the airlines, last year, 2015, was the safest year in the history of commercial aviation.
That's great.
And let me put this in perspective. Somebody ran these numbers by me the other day, and it was astounding. If you took the 1962, at the beginning of the jet age, really, the 1962 accident rate, fatality rate of airline crashes, and applied it to the number of departures that we have, takeoffs and landings today, we would have a fatal airline crash every other day.
Is that right?
Last year, this is wild, 34 million flights and 16 crashes.
That's pretty amazing.
And of those 16 crashes, not a single one on an American-built plane.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So the industry itself, the standards for the industry appear to be right where they need to be, and the technology hopefully makes it even better going forward, and that number gets miraculously lower. Having said that, how do we as consumers protect ourselves since we have to fly to have some measure of comfort on an airplane?
Well, you bring up the most interesting point, and that is this. If I'm batting 1,000, I cannot improve on that batting average. The real question is, how do I maintain it? And it gets into pilot training, recurrent training, and obviously maintenance. And, you know, the airlines have benefited tremendously from lower fuel costs because the two things that kill airlines are labor and fuel. They can't control either. Right now they're flying very high because of lower fuel costs. We don't know how long that's going to last. But are they reinvesting all that money into maintenance and training? And that's the question we need to keep needing to ask.
They even talked about having stand-up seats on one of these kooky European carriers. The character.
You're talking about
Ryanair. Yeah, Ryanair. But then the big girl bench seating that was proposed. Neither one of those is going to work, right?
Not in the way they're currently configured. But don't put it past the airlines to come up with lighter materials, because after all, weight is critical on a plane, lighter materials and a different design of the seats so that the seats don't recline, they kind of slide forward. You'll see that on a number of different seats now on 737s, where your seat can literally not recline into the neck of the person behind you. What you're doing is you're sliding down and forward, and it's a form of recline. It's better than nothing.
Wow. I don't know. I think I'm going to walk. I know I got to get to L.A., but I think I'm going to walk. Stand by. We got to do a quick traffic update, and then I want the kids to ask you questions. 312-981-7200 is the number for texters. By the way, Peter Greenberg is not a here's your lowest fare to Miami guy. He's the guy that can talk about all the various things going on in the airline business and how to get from here to there and the best way to travel and questions like that. If you got that, text it, 312-981-7200. Mary's here.
Niner, you are cleared for takeoff.
Roger.
Huh? L.A. departure frequency, 123.9er.
Roger.
Huh?
Request vector, over.
What?
Flight 209er, clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
/7:23, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hasn't been able to get a coaching job in the NBA. As far as you know, he could be a co-pilot. You don't know.
He's in those commercials for Wisconsin tourism.
Yeah, maybe right? He's flying one of those commuter airlines over Wisconsin. Yeah. Cheese Air, is that one of them? I think it might be. Peter Greenberg's on the phone, our friend, the travel guru. And what other plugs do we need to throw in for you?
A very good one, as a matter of fact. Coming up next month, right there at WTTW in Chicago, your lead PBS station, is my next installment of The Royal Tour, you know, the series that I do with heads of state.
Yep.
And what that is, I go to individual heads of state around the world, kings, presidents, or prime ministers. I actually get them to give me 5 days of their schedule unencumbered, and we tell their Ministry of Tourism they have to go home. And then for the next 5 days, that king, president, or prime minister is my tour guide for a one-hour special of their country, unedited. They have no right of review or editorial control, and that's going to air on April 14th.
How cool is that?
And that one's going to be with the president of Ecuador.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea for a concept, too. Well, we love Peter. Hey, you know, speaking of traveling, as we do with you, obviously, Andrea took a really cool trip, and I don't remember if you told Peter this.
Remember last year, I asked you and Peter, I said I had a choice between Cabo and Cuba, and you both said, no-brainer. Go to Cuba.
And go now.
Exactly.
And go now. And Peter, I did. It was the best trip that I ever took. I was there for 6 days. It was pure. It was wonderful. It was everything I expected it to be. And I want to go back very soon.
You just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
The answer is very soon, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's exploding, number one. And number two, you know, we talk about historical designations like AD or BC. I've added a new one when it comes to Cuba. BKFC, go before Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It's so true. And I know now they're going to allow more flights in and out. And when we went, you know, you have to go under one of the categories, educational, sure. Humanitarian. Sure. Is that still going to be the case?
Yes, that's still the case. You still have to qualify for under 12 approved different categories of educational, research, people-to-people, religious, medical. That will sooner than later go away. But the real key here is not the fact that they've added extra flights, because the Cubans have agreed with the Americans to do about 110 daily flights to Cuba, not to Havana. They're only going to allow about 20 a day to Havana because they literally can't handle the numbers. There are only 60,000 available hotel rooms in Cuba, and we've been propagandized into thinking just because we haven't been going in 60 years, nobody else has. Wrong. Everybody but us has been going. Those rooms are already full. Here's the problem. It's the cruise ships. Starting May 1, you're going to see cruise ships going into Cuba. Now, can you imagine the infrastructure situation there? The good news is, of course, the cruise ships don't need a hotel room because they are a floating hotel. Here's the bad news. Imagine 5,000 screaming, demented passengers coming off a Royal Caribbean ship in Havana looking for the last remaining three Cuban cigars. And remember, they can't increase their production. So you're going to see price gouging and price surges of unprecedented proportions. So the fact that you went when you went was a really good idea.
It was a great trip, and your pictures are phenomenal, and yeah. I salute you for doing it. But you've traveled everywhere. What's one place in the world that you have not been that you want to go to that Peter's been to 12 times?
Sweden.
Yeah, you love Sweden,
wow.
Don't you?
Interesting choice. Well, if you want to go to Sweden, you want to go in the summer, but not for the normal reasons of weather. You want to go because here's something that most people don't know. In Stockholm, there are 24,000, did you hear that word, 1,000 islands in the Stockholm archipelago, and you visit them by boat. Unreal.
Is wow. that right?
That's great. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. See, this yeah. Peter's great. Peter knows awesome. Stuff. From the texters, it's too much work to fly. I quit. The local regional Wisconsin airline must be called Dairy Air. See, this is the listeners. They're getting it done from the 847. And somebody said, when do we go to locking overhead bins so people can't take those off in an emergency thing and they just save their own lives?
Well, that's not going to happen. Too much trouble for the airlines, to tell you the truth. Can you imagine what that situation would be like? Somebody trying to work on their combination lock?
Was it a 7 or an 8, Harold?
No, yeah. But the bottom line is this. When you listen to a safety demo on the plane, assuming anybody does, not once do they say, in the event of an emergency, just leave yourself. Don't take another thing with you. They never say it.
That's a good point.
They better start saying it.
David, you have a question?
I do. Peter, I've got a bunch of miles sitting in a couple of frequent flyer programs.
And my condolences.
Yeah, they're not expiring, but I keep worrying about it.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
I don't trust the airlines as airlines. Why would I trust them as banks? What are you doing hoarding your miles? The longer you leave them in there, the less value they have. In fact, if anybody notices lately, the airlines are not only making it more difficult to redeem them, they're making it more difficult to earn them. They've all gone, American's going to kick in a couple of weeks on this, but United and Delta have already gone to a fare-based frequent flyer program, meaning in the old days, if I flew 1,000 miles on one of their flights, no matter what I paid for my ticket, at least I got a minimum of 1,000 miles. Today, it's based on what I paid for the ticket. So I can fly 1,000 miles on a discount ticket and only get 300 miles.
Yeah, how about that?
And then when it comes time to redeem them, good luck finding a 25,000-mile award. I mean, it's out of control. And then if you fall victim to the other little game, and everybody listening to the show who has a frequent flyer card already has at least received a solicitation for the magazine subscription or the box of chocolates in lieu of the miles, don't do it. If I run the numbers for you, it's downright depressing. Do you know how many unredeemed frequent flyer miles there are right now?
You told me last time. I'd forgotten the number.
17 trillion.
Oh, my God.
Unused.
Unused, eligible, but may never be redeemed because the airlines make it so difficult. So what they're doing with this contingent liability is they're soliciting you for a magazine subscription or a box of chocolates, anything other than the miles. You didn't join the program to get a subscription to Reader's Digest. You join the program to be able to fly somewhere. So here's the problem. So many people, out of frustration, realize, okay, I can't get the ticket, so I might as well get the magazine subscription or the box of chocolates. Can I run the numbers for you? Are you ready?
Yeah.
54% of all mileage earned is earned on the ground with credit cards, right? So assuming you even get a 25,000-mile award, that means you spent already $14,000
right.
for your ticket. Okay.
Right.
You get a subscription solicitation from the mileage guy saying, hey, for 3,500 miles, you get a subscription to Reader's Digest. That means you just spent $2,000. And the worst one, we do this on my show called The Travel Detective. We ran the numbers on an offer from Delta Airlines for a box of Godiva chocolates for 6,500 miles. That box of chocolates retails for $41. Now, let's do the math. You actually spent $3,600 for that box of chocolates. There are about 18 pieces of chocolate in that box. That's about $280 a piece.
Hope it was
with your bonbons. You know, just stop.
I hope it was a big Valentine's night at your house because that's an expensive transaction.
Right. So here's the deal. If you've got those miles, which is why you asked that question in the first place,
right.
Don't pick a place you want to go because guess what? Everybody else wants to go there too. So forget Paris, London, and Hawaii. Give it up. Throw it out. There are another 198 countries in the world. Pick a place you never want to go,
right,
ever.
Right.
And think 330 days out, get a ticket to that place. You're going to surprise yourself because, A, you'll be there by yourself. You'll have the best time. People will be thrilled to see you, and you'll get a chance to use your miles.
How about that?
Good. Okay.
Peter Greenberg.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, he's the best. PeterGreenberg.com at Peter S. Greenberg. When you come to town, let's do another hit for the show you're going to do.
You know what? I'll be in town on April 13th.
All right. Let us know, and we'll double back with you as well.
You got it, guys.
All right. Thanks, buddy. It's Peter Greenberg, travel guru.
Depressed.
$280.
Yes. How many?
Listen, I like candy as much as the next person, but $280 per chocolate is a tad high.
Wow.